today on Real Radio.
But it's an anti-Semitic move, and they arrest Paul and Silas, who were the true Jews, full Jews in the group. But in the midst of it all, and I want you to jot this down under recognizing God's hand at work, they stood, that is, Paul and Silas stood on what Jesus Christ had commanded them. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? They had God's hand on their lives. How do you know for sure? Because they're preaching the gospel. If in doubt, preach the word of God. Gee, I don't know what God wants for my life. Well, if in doubt, preach the word of God. Tell people.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We'll be looking at the last part of chapter 16. Now, this is the fascinating account of Silas and Paul's incarceration. Of course, instead of conceding defeat, they worshiped Almighty God. And then, something wonderful happened, as we'll see in this study called Seeing God's Hand at Work. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. And we're going to be reading from verses 19 to 40 this morning. And there's a lot in here for us to pay close attention to. And I hope that the Lord uses it greatly in our lives. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities and brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them that they should be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, they put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour in the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when they had brought them into his house and set food before them, they rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and they have thrown us into prison. And now do they seek to put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out from the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. What a great story. I mean, you already know all about this story. It's so famous. In Acts chapter 16, we're seeing God move in radical ways. And for note takers, and I know you've had it easy these last couple of weeks. I don't know if these guest speakers were making you take notes, but to graduate from my class at the Bible College, you have to take notes. And I think God, to have us get into heaven, not only are we to believe on Jesus Christ, but part of growth is being able to retain what you're being taught. And I can't think of any greater way than to be taking notes. So, all of you, note takers, we want to jot down the title this morning, that is, Seeing God's Hand at Work. And God's hand is at work in your life if you're a believer this morning. And like last service, even if you're not a believer, God's hand is working to bring you to Christ. And so we're excited about that. But in Acts chapter 16, we are seeing particular kinds or types of sinners coming to faith in Christ. We saw a very religious, wealthy, influential woman come to Christ by the name of Lydia in Acts 16, verse 14. We saw in verse 18 last time together where God opened the heart and the life of a slave girl who was really possessed by a devil. She was an ex-Satanist, we know from the study that we looked at. God delivered her. And then this morning, from verses 19 to 40, we're going to see God do another thing and open up a door of a man's heart who was by nature very hardened, a very tough guy, a man that would not normally be open to the things of the gospel. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, and I love this verse, it says in verses 18 through 19, when he began his public ministry, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said to preach the message to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim, listen, liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That was Jesus' first message that he declared. He went to that big scroll, the book of Isaiah, in that synagogue, and he unrolled it. Of course, it didn't have the chapter and verse numbers, but he went to Isaiah, what we know today to be Isaiah 61, verse 1, and he began to read that. Then he set down the scripture and said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. And everybody kind of got uptight. They didn't recognize who he was until time went on and they saw his works. But God has sent his word that we might find salvation in Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at four things this morning, 4 points, so you might want to jot them down. And these things, I hope, will be very applicable to our lives. We need to, first of all, be recognizing God's hand at work in our lives. I tell you what, it's going to save you a lot of grief if you recognize God's hand at work in your life. That will be in verses 20 to 24. The second point we'll see is that we need to be rejoicing in the will of God. In the will of God, we need to be rejoicing. That's in verses 25 and 26. The third point is remembering our mission in life. Why are you really here as a Christian? What are you doing? Well, Paul's going to remind us in verses 27 to 34. And then finally, we'll see that we need to be seizing the opportunities and situations of our lives in verses 35 to 40. So let's just jump in and go right to the very first point here. God is at work. God is moving. He's been showing us in the book of Acts, chapter 16, that he's building his church by one person at a time. I look across the sanctuary, and it is packed in here. And you might get lost in the numbers, but you know God saved you personally. You know Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. You're not saved in mass or in bulk. I saw a picture at a place in St. Petersburg, Russia, just a couple of days ago, and there was a mass wedding. It was the largest wedding in the world with Reverend Sun Myung Moon. And they had 100,000 people standing there getting married as he pronounced the marriage ceremony. It was the largest wedding in the world. Well, you know what? I don't think I'd like that. I like the idea of my wife and I being the only ones who were dressed in white that day. I like the idea of people coming to be a witness and to be committed to pray for our marriage. It's a personal event, and so is Jesus Christ and his marriage to you, so to speak, in salvation. It's personal. And God is adding to his church one person at a time. Though churches get lost in numbers, Jesus Christ never gets lost with numbers. Isn't that great news? I'm so blessed to know that. So, in verses 20 to 24, we're going to be recognizing God's hand at work. It says here, and they brought them to the magistrates. These are the guys that had just experienced their little slave girl, about 14 years of age, She was just liberated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the story? She was possessed and she had the python spirit we saw last time in our study. And Paul was getting so annoyed that this demon-possessed girl was dogging them and spouting off that Paul turns and delivers her from the possession of the spirit. And when her owners saw that their prophet was lost, they went to the magistrates, verse 20, and created a ruckus. It says that these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. That's the truth, kind of. It's interesting, though, that they seized Paul and Silas. Without going into much detail, look at it later if you have a problem with it. There's other people in the group, you know. What about Timothy? What about the rest of the group that's been snowballing as the missionary ventures on its way? These are the only two Jews that are arrested. It's an anti-Semitic move. And when they said, hey, these guys are teaching us things that are contrary to our Roman law, that's true. It was unofficial or illegal for a Roman citizen to be converted to a religion. They were free to worship, but they were to include in their worship the worship of Caesar. Caesar was God, they would hail. Hail Caesar! It's like, hail the gods! Well, Christianity, as you well know, refuses the worship of any other god or gods when the Bible declares there's only one God. But they're mixed up with Paul's message because he's Jewish, of bringing a Jewish message, when he's, what he's doing is bringing Christianity. But it's an anti-Semitic move, and they arrest Paul and Silas, who were the true Jews, full Jews in the group. But in the midst of it all, and I want you to jot this down under recognizing God's hand at work, they stood, that is, Paul and Silas stood on what Jesus Christ had commanded them. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? They had God's hand on their lives. How do you know for sure? Because they're preaching the gospel. If in doubt, preach the word of God. Gee, I don't know what God wants for my life. Well, if in doubt, preach the word of God. Tell people. Well, I don't know. You know, I've been praying and I've been fasting for years and I can't find God's will for my life. Hey, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That doesn't mean you have to go to Russia. It means you go next door. It means you go to the line at Lucky's or Albertson's. You let somebody know. Ask God to lead you. Men, when you're going through a crowd of people, and when we're over in Russia, there's a lot of people, and I'm saying, Lord, lead me to the guy. I mean, it's impossible to preach it to everybody unless you're at the microphone. But Lord, lead me to the woman, lead me to the guy, lead me to the kid. And I'm kind of, it's dangerous, man. I feel like a shark fin on my back. I'm looking. Lord, talk to me. Show me. And he always does. We need to be recognizing God's hands on your life. And I want to come against that attitude that you and I have. Oh, gosh, I don't think so, Jack. Oh, yeah. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Is your name written down in glory? Are you born again? Well, yeah, but I don't know. He wants to use you. God's hands on your life. Even in the midst of all the things that seemingly are going against you, God's hand is on your life. They stood on what Jesus had commanded them. Go into all the world and preach. We need to do that. Are you walking with God? If you're walking with God and things are going rough in your life, are you questioning God's provision? Are you questioning God's protection? No, listen, when you walk with God, it's not always going to be perfectly fine. Do you understand that? Paul understood that God's hand was on them. That's why he had that confidence. I know I use this a lot. I don't have some kind of a death wish, but again, what if the doors were blown open and guys came in with machine guns? Jack, stop saying what you're saying, or we're going to blow you away. What would you do? Well, you know what? A couple weeks ago in Russia, I was standing there sharing, and this guy came up. He's about 60 years old, and he was red and angry. And I smelled vodka, which made it worse. And he came up to me, and he goes, do you believe the message that you're preaching right now? I said, yes. Are you willing to die for it? He said, quote, are you willing to have your head cut off for it? And let me tell you, right then and there, and I hope I don't miss the point that I want to make on this. Right then and there, There was something that all I can do is point to you in my midsection that came up through my tummy, up through my heart, and out of my mouth. And I said, yes, sir, I am. He was startled. I said, what are you willing to die for? He stopped. He paused and he said, Russia. And I said, then don't fault me for wanting to die for Jesus Christ. He said, if my daughter was here right now, who's 16 years old, I would beat her to an inch of her life if she was doing what you're doing. And I said, why is that? And he was so furious that we were proclaiming the way of eternal life through believing in Jesus Christ. He was angry that God could love us so much that he would provide his son. It made him furious. He was not open. That man, though free, was in prison by his own persuasions. And it was tragic. But I thought for a moment, am I ready to die for this message? And all I can tell you right now is being on the edge, God will see to it that something happens in your midsection, up through your heart and out of your mouth, and it happened, and you will die for your belief in Christ. It's special grace. They stood on what Jesus had commanded them. The scripture says in verse 21, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. They were coming against the traditions of Rome and the teachings of Rome. So not only did they stand on what Jesus had said, but there was a great price and embarrassment of pain that they would be suffering momentarily for their commitment to Jesus. It says in verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. I read one commentary that said the magistrates were so mad, which is an Eastern custom. They were so mad that they tore off their own clothes. And it's funny because that they do that, you know. They get so mad that they grab their clothes and they tear them. I find that kind of funny, but I think whose clothes they tore off was Paul and Silas's clothes, because they had plans to beat them and to beat them within an inch of their life. A Roman beating. Most people died from the beating. So we're not talking easy street here. But Jack, how can these guys be positive thinkers? How can they be successful ministers when they're getting beat up and scorned and persecuted like this? Hey, all I know is that Paul cried out later on to the Philippians, which this city is, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I know in the crowd this size that if I tell you that the Bible says, yes, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the propensity for you to find some other church next week will be rather high, because you don't want to hear about it being tough. But have you noticed, if you're walking the walk of faith according to the Bible, that the world is getting a little hostile toward you? You get a cover of Time Magazine or Newsweek, whichever one it is, and it says bisexuality. Basically, it says, you better get used to it because that's the way things are going. You put Christianity on the cover, and the news media is inundated with people angry with Time or Newsweek having the guts to put it on the cover. The system's mad. It's crazy, but that's the way it's supposed to be going. How can you stand true and stand strong when you're getting your clothes tore off and you're getting beaten up? Well, there's only one way, and that's being rest assured that God's hand's on your life. You can have that confidence, you know. It doesn't take a Paul to have that. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul gives all of the things that's happened to him in ministry. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. I'm going to just glean over a few of them because it's lengthy. He says, 5 times I received 40 stripes. That's not with paintbrush, people. That's with a whip. He was beaten. It says here that he was in perils and journeys and waters and robbers and countrymen and Gentiles and cities. He was in great perils. He was lost at sea for a day and a night, the scripture says. The scripture says here that he was beaten 3 times with rods. He was exposed to forced fast. That means he had no food, ran out of food. He was naked. And he says, besides all this other stuff, just the daily pressure that comes upon me regarding my concern for the churches. Well, let me sign up, Paul. I want to be your assistant pastor. There's something going on. Either we are followers and leaders for Jesus Christ, and we know that God's hand's on us, or we are not, and we're playing a game. And our spirituality is registered by our success, by what kind of cars we drive, by what kind of rings we wear. Paul didn't have any of that. He was arrested. He's getting drunk off to prison. This is God's man. By the way, there was a rumor when I got back that I was arrested in Russia. I got back and I found out I was arrested. Militia pulled up. They had machine guns. Yes, they took me down to their station. And about an hour and a half later, I came back, and the next thing I know, in California, there was two other churches that were concerned because I was arrested. Well, I wish I could say I was arrested. They simply took me to the station to ask me what we're doing and how's it going. And if you have any problems, let us know, because we're here to protect you. I thought that was pretty neat. So I was not arrested. I do not have a record, which maybe negates me from being a Calvary Chapel pastor. I think you need to... Have you noticed they're all married to beautiful wives? They're all going bald head and they're gaining weight. And they usually have legal records or, you know, well, I've got all that going on, but I don't have a record yet anyway. I wish I could say I was arrested for preaching the gospel. God's hand was on these guys and God was moving through them. And we need to realize... The Bible says in Acts 14:22, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. People, your life's not falling apart. You're not losing control. God hasn't stopped loving you. But Jack, I got laid off. God loves you. We are emotional beings. Everything's great when we're not laid off. The moment we're laid off, everything's terrible. Well, it may look that way, but God loves you, and He doesn't go up and down with the decision of the management or the boss. He loves you, and He's providing and guiding. I don't see how. That's the problem. He will. Listen, there's a lot more at stake than you.
That's right. Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Seeing God's Hand at Work, a sanctifying lesson to the wise taken from verses 19 through 40 of the 16th chapter of Acts. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll pick up with part two of this valuable study. Have you noticed that every year at this time, there arise discussions of what many try to identify as the true meaning of Christmas? And of course, we often hear a variety of conflicting opinions. Well, the real meaning of the holiday is the celebration of God being with us, Emmanuel. We sing, Born is the King of Israel. So imagine a Christmas without Jesus. That's the title of our teacher's CD series that we're offering. Its purpose is to keep our eyes focused on the true Christ of Christmas. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus, the CD series by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, is yours when you send in a tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the work of Real Radio. It's our way of saying, you guessed it, Merry Christmas. Just ask for it by title, Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. You can start by visiting realradioactive.org if you'd like to learn more about it and to make your contribution and request your copy. realradioactive.org or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. The call is free, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.